night, a high in the afternoon on Saturday near 40, a low down to 28. And then Sunday, again, another chance of rain and snow mixed together, mostly cloudy with a high near 38. 34 right now in downtown Butler. And of course, we will take another look at your news as we go throughout the afternoon. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Year Bank studios. Next Year Bank, your hometown community bank. News time is 12:30. Dave Malarkey's coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, hello there. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. We have a couple of guests today. We're going to be talking a little bit later on the program with Matthew Kramer. Matthew is the musical director and conductor of the Butler County Symphony Orchestra. And wow, the symphony always takes a little bit of a break over the holidays. And then they gear up for the second half of their concert season right before Valentine's Day. And all of a sudden, we're getting there. They have a concert this Saturday. This Saturday is February 1st already. And it's a concert that is going to be honoring the 250th anniversary of the birth of Beethoven. So, wow, talk about that. Talk about Beethoven with Matthew Kramer a little bit later on the program today. However, our first guest, and we'll be chatting with her in just a couple of moments here, the principal at St. Wendelin Catholic School on the outskirts of Butler, a few miles outside of town. Jolynn Klaus is the principal. This is Catholic Schools Week, and they're doing a lot of stuff all week long at St. Wendelin's. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the school, all of that coming up in just a couple of minutes. So stick around. We'll be chatting with Jolynn Klaus, coming up right after these words.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
ArmCo Credit Union has one sweetheart of a loan rate waiting for you. Hi, I'm Kurt Heekins, loan manager at ArmCo Credit Union. And whether you're thinking of buying a vehicle or refinancing a loan from another financial institution, now is the time to take advantage of our low, low rates. Now through February the 29th, you can get a 60-month auto loan for as low as 2.25 annual percentage rate. Check out armcocu.com for other rates and terms. Apply for a loan online or visit us in person.
ArmCo Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Coming up on this segment, listeners of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. Nice to have you with us. Now, this is Catholic Schools Week, and one of the schools in our area that is marking the event with a lot of special activities is St. Wendelin Catholic School. And the principal of St. Wendelin is visiting with us here today. That is Jolynn Klaus. Jolynn, nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me to the show, and I'm really excited about Catholic Schools Week.
Well, this is, I think Catholic Schools Week is this time of year pretty much every year. It's also School Choice Week.
It is.
Where around the country, people want to make sure that everyone's aware that there are a number of options, including public schools, of course.
Correct.
But we've got private schools, we've got charter schools these days, we've got parochial schools. St. Wendelin's, I know, goes back a long, long way, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But, you know, we ought to start out by making sure that everyone knows where St. Wendelin's School is located.
St. Wendelin's School is located on St. Wendelin Road, which is directly off of Bonnybrook Road It's right across from St. Wendelin Church, and it's easy to find because you pass Highland Golf Course, and there's St. Wendelin Church on the right and the school on the left.
I was going to say, for any golfer, that's the best way to describe where it's located. It's literally right next to Highland Golf Course, the Zedekers out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mentioned that St. Wendelin School goes back a long ways. Talk a little bit about the history of that school, Jolynn. Obviously, you weren't there. No, nobody was there. It was back, what, around the Civil War or something like that when it was started?
St. Wendelin School goes way back. It was started in 1845, was its first year.
Before the Civil War.
The St. Wendelin's was started from the Germans. They helped to instill the school and the church out there. And throughout the years, 1912, I believe, the church was established.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that the parish and the school work together. And a lot of the parishioners and alumni have actually built that school from the ground up, literally from the ground up.
So there were a lot of German immigrants at that time, back in the 1840s?
It was crazy. Actually, one of my daughters did a research project a few years ago with the family tree, and it goes way back that my maiden name is Karen Bauer, and the Karen Bauers were one of the first Germans here that came to St. Wendelin's Church, and then one of the first ones in St. Wendelin School, and they're actually buried in the St. Wendelin Cemetery from way back at the very beginning. And recently, someone from Germany actually just sent an email to Father Matt McLean and myself asking about information because he thinks his ancestors were from this area and were part of St. Wendelin Church and School.
Well, these immigrants would have been Germany as we know it today. Wasn't even formed back then. I mean, what we know as Germany today was a bunch of independent states.
Correct. Know,
like Bavaria and many, many others. Germany was not unified until a long time after that. But we had quite a few German immigrants who came to western Pennsylvania, which at that time was the frontier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you crossed the Allegheny Mountains, you were in no man's land back in those days. It was literally the edge of the frontier. In fact, it was disputed for a long time whether western Pennsylvania was going to be part of Pennsylvania or Virginia.
Correct.
So St. Wendelin goes back a long time. And the school was started pretty much the same time the first church location, I guess. Huh? They hired a teacher to...
Yes, there was, it was actually Mr. Mueller was the first principal at St. Wendelin's. He started it, and that's where the Mueller Fund comes from. That's our advancement and alumni fund.
Mm-hmm. So what about the present school? Do you know when that was built, the present school building?
It started out as just a tiny little school. But the cornerstone of this one is 1912. But before that, a lot of the pieces are still there from the 1800s that they've just added on throughout the years.
Mm-hmm. And there was a new wing, I think, in the 50s or something like that was added on to the school, too?
In 1912 is when that second one was put on.
Oh, 1912. Well, that's a rich history for sure. Yeah. What about today? What about enrollment? Are you still going strong there at St. Wendelin?
We are. Actually, ever since Father Matt McLean took over as the administrator pastor at St. Wendelin's, we've grown immensely in the past few years. We started out, when him and I took over in 2012, we started out with about 58 kids in the building, and we've grown to about 140 over the last few years. And that's just not because of one or two people. This is because of the alumni, the PTG, the parents, the parishioners, everyone working together has just really helped the school. They just donate their time, they volunteer, they donate all kinds of things to the school. We've done renovations, technology, upgrades, and it's just from everyone working together, especially the dedicated teachers. The teachers at St. Wendelin School are obviously not there for the money. We don't make that much money, obviously, in a very rural Catholic parochial school. They donate so much of their time in addition to their everyday class lessons and so forth. So, and all of them are highly educated. A lot of people think that Catholic schools don't have teachers that have certifications. Not only are our teachers certified with PA state certifications, they also have master's degrees throughout the building, and some of them are in the middle of their master's programs.
What are the grade levels that are taught at St. Wendell's?
We have preschool through eighth grade. Our preschool is a full day and a half day program. Our kindergarten is a full day program, and it goes through eighth grade.
Preschool, I guess, is the thing these days. I mean, I came from a very small town, rural town, too, and we didn't have a kindergarten. There was no kindergarten when I was going to, you know, the first day you went to school was first grade. Then it's kindergarten everywhere, and now it's even
preschool
before kindergarten.
That
we're talking
piece is
little,
really
little
important.
Ones here.
Really important now, just trying to get those kids acclimated to being in a school environment in itself. They are so excited about preschool there, those little ones. Mrs. Baldoff is one of our preschool teachers. She is just fantastic with them. She gives her heart and soul to those little ones, and they all know it. And half day and full day is nice because some parents, they don't have transportation in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that we can offer both.
As I understand it, I'm not an educator, but one of the great benefits of preschool is socialization, and these little ones can get used to the idea of being with other kids who are not a brother or a sister.
Absolutely.
And you take care of a lot of things that ordinarily a first grade teacher or a kindergarten teacher would spend a few weeks dealing with.
Right, just even standing in line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to stand in line to wait for something. At home, you're the first one. You know, no matter what, you're the first one that's getting this. And just learning, just standing in line, waiting to go use even the restrooms. That's a new big thing for them. You know, they get really excited about that. I was able to stand in line, you know. But it is a big deal, and we do make a big deal out of it for them.
So your growing enrollment over the past decade is going against the trend. You know that, especially in a rural parochial school.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. It's the environment itself. It's different than a public school and a lot of the other Catholic schools even that are really large. You can hear any parent tell you that after the first few days of school, every teacher, every staff member will know every kid's name in the entire building. Every kid will know every other kid's name by the end of the first week. They all call them by name. It's a huge family that these kids are coming to at St. Wendelin's, and that's one of the things we're really proud of. And the fact that the parish is so involved in the school, and our parents are they're just phenomenal.
Well, I'm sure that sort of an atmosphere appeals to many parents.
I would think that this is something that you would want, is for everybody to know your kiddo's name, for them to feel that important, and the safety and security as well.
We're chatting with Jolynn Klaus. She is the principal for several years now, actually, at St. Wendelin School, St. Wendelin Catholic School, outside of Butler. It's about, what are we talking about, 8 or 10 miles outside of Butler? It's not that far.
No, it's not far at all.
I know by going to Highland Golf Course to play golf. Although I was at St. Wendelin quite a few years ago. It was a career day or a shadow day or something like that, and I was invited out and spoke to two or three of the classes. It was nice.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. We've tried Career Day a few more times since then for Catholic Schools Week, and with the timing of the year that Catholic Schools Week always falls on, like you said, it's usually about 3 or 4 snow days. Mm-hmm. So people that are taking work off to come and do that Career Day for us, I always feel bad because they've already put their schedule around it, and then I'm canceling it. You know, so it's hard to schedule around the weather, but it is what it is.
You are doing a bunch of special activities, however, this week. So tell us about some of the things that are planned. I know you kicked off the week on Monday with was that your sweatshirt sweatsuit day or your pajama day or whatever
it was. It was a pajama day. The Monday was the pajama day. We actually kicked off the week on Sunday. We celebrated Catholic Schools Week at the 10:30 Mass with Father Matt. The students participated in the celebration, and then afterwards we had a little muffin appreciation for the parishioners and parents afterwards that the student council served down in the parish hall. That's how we started it. And then on Monday we had the pajama day. It's also the saint day, where each class had adopted a saint for the school year, and so they'll do different activities today that incorporate, or on Monday, I'm sorry, that incorporate those class saints, and mm-hmm. they'll put those on the walls and on their desks for people to see during different open houses that we'll have throughout the week as well.
I'm assuming that the bulk of your students come from St. Wendelin Parish, but that's bigger now, right? You've got three, or how many churches involved?
Right, we're three parishes now combined, are going to be adjoining. We're combined right now with St. Joe's, North Oakland, and Matta Della Rosa are also with us, and we're really excited about that because now we have more people to be excited about Catholic education. And in talking with parishioners from both parishes, they are super excited that they are now attached to a school in the diocese.
Mater Dolorosa is in Chicora. That's right, in Chicora Borough.
Correct.
And I can remember passing the St. Joseph Church whenever I was a kid because my family lived in Parker up along the Allegheny River. We came to Butler almost every weekend to shop. And we would go past that church right along the highway there.
Right.
Yeah, right along Route 68, and there was a cemetery right next to it.
That's right.
And I can remember going past that. It seemed like a church. It was out in the middle of nowhere whenever I was a little kid. So that's part of your grouping now.
Exactly. We're really excited because they are so close to us as well. And Father Matt and has really tried to reach out to both parishes and make them all feel like we're all one.
We need to take a break. We're chatting with Jolynn Klaus, principal at St. Wendelin Catholic School, participating along with, I think, all the Catholic
yes.
schools in the diocese.
Correct.
Special activities this week, Catholic School Week. So we'll take a break, and we'll be back to talk a little bit more with Jolynn Klaus here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be back after these words. Hey, here's a good way to beat the winter blahs. Get out of town for a few days. Why not take a trip with Butler Motor Tours? Butler Motor Tours, a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around for more than 75 years. And when you travel with Butler Motor Tours, you travel in comfort on one of their big motor coaches, their big cruisers. By the way, they always take trips down to Florida, too, in the winter months, so there's an idea to look at. If you want to check out their offerings, just go to their website. It's butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. All their upcoming trips are listed there with the dates and the itinerary and the cost and all of that. You can even book online if you so desire. And you can get gift certificates too. Butler Motor Tours. Check them out online at butlerbus.com. That's Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com.
Concordia Visiting Nurses has resources for patients who struggle with a serious illness. Visit cvnpalliativecare.org, an online educational website designed to help the seriously ill and their families to live as comfortably as possible while still receiving curative care. This free educational website offers practical tips and information. Choose Concordia Visiting Nurses.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Jolynn Klaus, principal at St. Wendelin Catholic School, outside of Butler a few miles. And it's Catholic Schools Week, so we're talking about special activities that are going on at St. Wendelin's. And you have a lot more throughout the rest of this week, right?
We do. We have activities throughout the week. Monday, like you had said, was pajama day and class saint day. It's also movie and popcorn afternoon, so the kids get really excited about those types of things. Tuesday is actually, it was going to be our school choice day, and the teachers will have lessons about different ways that parents have gotten their kids there at St. Wendelin's and why they chose St. Wendelin's mm-hmm. for their school choice. We'll do bowling in the afternoon at Family Bowl Away. They always are really nice. They like to do things in conjunction with us each year during Catholic Schools Week, and we appreciate them doing that. Wednesday is one of our favorite days. Wednesday is always our school mass day, but this time it'll be all school mass. There'll be students from all different grades participating in that mass with Father Matt. After that, we do each quarter, we hand out certificates to the students who have earned them, attendance certificates, reading certificates, math. The kid gets so excited because Father Matt hands them this certificate right up on the altar, and they're all so excited about that. After that, we're going to have an art show. The kids all did art projects, and they're going to be down in the church hall, followed by a family luncheon where the parents can come in and have lunch with the kiddos. We have an open house that'll be on Wednesday at 1:15 for anybody who is interested in St. Wendelin's to see the atmosphere and the environment. They are more than welcome to come and tour the preschool or the main building.
What are the hours for that on Wednesday?
That's 1:15 to 2:15.
Okay.
So that they can be out of there before the buses come pulling in to try to get in their way.
Good idea.
On Thursday, we'll be doing actually Crazy Hat Day. The students will also be researching historical clergy hats that day. So there's a significant amount of different clergy hats that we didn't actually know about, but every grade level will be researching one and creating the clergy hats.
Well, so, that's interesting. Yeah, I never heard about that.
Friday is going to be our big service day. The students can donate change, pocket change, any type of donation to wear their clothes backwards and are trying to change for hunger. So throughout the day, that will be our theme. That will also be for our middle school semi-formal is that night. So they donate $5 at the door when they come. That's for fifth through eighth graders that would like to participate in that. And all of the money will go to help families in need in our area. The biggest night of our week is actually going to be our Saturday night. That is the alumni night. This has turned into a huge annual event where we invite back alumni from St. Wendelin School from all these different years to participate in the 4 o'clock Mass. We have an open house right before that alumni like to come through, and even new families like to go through. But the alumni, it's so nice because they're like, this used to be the library. Oh my gosh, now it's a classroom. And this used to be where we ate lunch. And they tell old stories, and it's really nice. After that, we'll have our huge reverse raffle, which is our only fundraiser for our advancement throughout the year that we have in the hall, which we have tickets at the school for. This is all to help our alumni fund that pays for all the advertisements and things we do throughout the year. And we'll announce also at Mass the alumnus of the year. We've been doing this for the past 3 or 4 years now, and it's a huge event where we celebrate one of our past alumnus of the year, and we do that right at the end of Mass. And we have done the very first year we actually had 3 siblings, and they, I believe, graduated St. Wendelin School like in 1938. And that was really exciting. And then last year we had Pete Green, or 2 years ago we had Pete Green. And then last year was Bob Geibel. And all of these people have made a huge impact in our school, the church, everything about it. So we love to celebrate them, and it's a really exciting night for us.
So this year's honoree is still a secret. That'll be revealed.
Announcement at the Mass.
That's good. Jolynn Klaus, principal at St. Wendelin School. What about technology? You're a small school. You have very low student-to-teacher ratio. Have you been able to keep up with all the technological advancements
Absolutely.
In schools these days?
Absolutely. Through different donations and fundraisers and different events from alumni that have decided that they would like to donate money back to the school, we've bought, we have tablet carts for the primary wing. We have tablet cart for upstairs, middle school wing.
Pardon me, what's a tablet cart?
It contains 20 of the tablets, which are like little laptops.
Oh, so you can move it around
from classroom to classroom. Exactly.
Gotcha.
With that being said, we also have an iPad storage for our primary kiddos, about 12, 13 of those. Same for our middle school, so it's upstairs and downstairs is our different grade levels. And the students have computer classes. They have Mobi Max, which is an enrichment for all of the curriculum, and they participate in these throughout the week, as well as the Criterion Writing Program that the diocese asked us to use, that is a writing program for a 4th through 8th grade that they use on those tablets, and the teachers integrate that in one-on-one sometimes.
So important to
absolutely. These kids know how to use it better than I do most of the time, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you get on to high school, after that, perhaps college, you're going to need writing skills.
Exactly, exactly. And that's one of the things, too, at St. Wendelin's. I know people have come there, and it surprises them that our 3rd through 8th grade have to write in cursive. And the 2nd grade is where they still learn cursive, but a lot of the schools have gotten away from the cursive writing, and a lot of parents are like, well, this is really nice because my kid has to be able to write and sign things later in life. They have to know what cursive is, and it's a big piece to our language arts curriculum.
I just saw a story on the wire about that last week, where there are so many school districts now where, because of the advent of keyboards and iPads and everything else, they don't teach handwriting anymore.
Exactly. That, and like I said, you know, like you had mentioned, the one-on-one, we have a lot student-teacher ratio is very low. So that's one of the things that I think a lot of parents look at when they're looking at a private school is how small are the classes? Will my child get a lot of one-on-one time? We have some of our classes, the largest class we have there is 19, but we also have team teachers that come in, and we do small group intervention with those classes too, and that's the largest class we have in the building. We try to keep the classes under a size of 20, and if we do get to 20, then we try to split them down into smaller groups throughout the day, mm-hmm. and we have extra teachers that will jump into those classes during those times.
When I was in elementary school, it's hard for me to remember, but we didn't do much writing. Now, we did have cursive handwriting, but in terms of, and it was always tough for me because I'm left-handed.
Right.
And it's tough to,
you know, turn your paper.
Moving your hand across what you've already written. Oh, the travails of that. But we didn't do much, you know, writing of stories or papers or anything until I got into junior high school, so I'm glad to hear you're doing that. What about diagnostic testing? Do students take tests periodically to see how they're doing versus other schools and so on?
Absolutely. We do what's the standardized test that we use is the Iowa test. We do those in the fall. And this drives instruction throughout the year for the teachers to see where the students are all at so they can teach to what they need, not versus what it may be that level, so that they can give them those higher enrichment classes if they need those in versus if they were just on the average level. So they're always being challenged throughout the year with that. We also do the Dibbles, which is now turned into Acadience. That's the new name of it, just in case you weren't sure. And we do that as a reading test for our kindergarten through sixth grade. We do that quarterly. We do the diocesan math benchmarks quarterly, and the writing assessments come up in May, so that all of this can drive instruction throughout the classrooms.
Do you have an activity area or somewhere where kids could dribble a basketball or something like that?
We have the playground out back with the basketball courts are also back there. It's just a little playground. However, with that being said, extracurriculars are something that all of our teachers actually donate their time to do. We do these after school. We have an outdoor club, which they go fishing and they go sled riding and biking on the rails to trails. We have a golf club that they participate and go to Highlands and golf, and they golf out back. We have this huge playground out back with a lot of area. We have the drama club. We have
a drama club?
Yeah, we have a big drama club. They put on a fantastic show in the spring. We have instrumental music. We have that band program. We have a certified music teacher who does that.
What about art?
We have art classes as well throughout the curriculum that is following the different mandates that are expected with that. We have a dance and cheer club. We have every club imaginable, actually. These kids really enjoy the extracurriculars, and I do appreciate the fact that the teachers do donate their time to do these things. We have a sign language club, which was a big hit this year, too. that they sign language, they used their sign language at the Christmas show and did Silent Night during our Christmas show. So that was really nice. I think it was just a little topping on the end of that program that really made it special for the kids.
What about bus transportation to get the kids there?
Yes, we have transportation to from a variety of the districts in the area. Butler, obviously, probably 80% of our population comes from Butler School District, but we have Carn City, Montauk, South Butler, and Armstrong as well, that are just to name a few that are in the area. As long as it's within 10 miles of the line, we can bus those kids. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem. And when you're asking about that, actually, we have open enrollment coming up. We have our Step Up Day, which is our registration day. It'll be in February 24th at 9 a.m.
This is for the school year that'll start this fall?
That is correct. For 2020-2021 year, who can believe it's already coming up, but it's at 9 a.m. on the 24th, and then we have one that evening for preschool to 8th grade enrollment, so if parents can't come during the day, it's at 6 o'clock. And then the preschool registration is the following day. It will be February 25th at 1.
Of course, for a parochial school, there's a tuition. Is there help available, scholarships or financial aid or something like that for families who need it?
That's another piece that comes from our parish as well. The diocese has a program for tuition assistance that all parents are able to try to get some money and assistance from. And with that, trying to do that, then the parish also helps with the tuition assistance. The Turkey Dinner is a tuition assistance fundraiser that we do every year. Adopt a Child and the Golf Outing, which, again, people donate their time to run these, and all that goes towards tuition assistance to help the kids. We have the EITC program, and Armstrong is also part of that.
Do you have a dress code? I'm a big believer in dress codes for schools.
We do.
I think I'm voice crying in the wilderness these days, but is there a dress code at St. Wendell?
We do have a dress code. That's why the kids really look forward to Catholic Schools Week, because, you know, dress code is kind of out the door that week with all their little activities. However, it's very simple. It's khakis on the bottom, or gray or navy blue, and the tops are red, white, or blue.
So everybody doesn't look exactly the same, but there's a strict dress code.
That's right.
St. Wendelin Catholic School, have we covered all of your activities? You had so many of them there, I kind of lost track.
I believe that I got to mention each one of them.
Okay.
St. Wendelin School incorporates high student achievement while having a sense of family. All the staff and students, they know each other. The teachers are all highly qualified and dedicated professionals that donate a lot of their time to make this school successful.
And open house, again, for people who might be interested at least in finding out more about the school, if not necessarily registering their kids.
Right.
That's going to be Wednesday
from 1:15 to 2:15, mm-hmm. And we have another one on Saturday that's from 2:45 to 3:45.
Okay, so that could be either tomorrow or Saturday, Wednesday of this week. Jolynn Klaus is the principal at St. Wendelin's. It's nice to have you here today.
I really appreciate the invitation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you got a good school out there, that's for sure.
Well, we love it.
More to come on It's Your Turn here on WISI. We'll be back after these words.
Why pay more when you can get tobacco for less? Their store in Pullman Square Plaza includes a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a great variety of cigars and a 19-foot vape juice bar. Not to mention their Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department supplies a wide selection of high-quality CBD products and is always adding to their product lines. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less, with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a Best Doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
You've been so busy getting ready for the holidays that you totally forgot to get your vehicle ready for the winter. No worries. West End Tire and Service kept their snow tire inventory up, but don't wait too long as they're harder to come by later in the season. West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great service, installation, and staff as Siemens provided for years. Their trained technicians will check your air pressure and do tire evaluations for free. Anytime. Stop in to see what's new and be sure to visit them on Facebook. West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street next to Battery Warehouse Plus Butler.
Welcome back, good friends. We move into the next segment of It's Your Turn here on a Tuesday, and we're very pleased to be able to chat once again with Matthew Kramer, the music director and conductor of the Butler County Symphony Orchestra. He joins us by telephone. Hello, Matthew. Nice to chat with you again.
Always a pleasure to join you, Dave.
The Butler Symphony has six concerts during the year. Three of them are before the holidays, and then they take a little bit of a break for a few weeks, and then the final three concerts are after the holiday. I looked at my calendar all of a sudden, Matthew, and I said, wow, the concert season resumes this weekend, for goodness sakes.
I don't know where the holidays went to. They always pass so quickly, and while we're at the halfway point of this season, we're putting the finishing touches on the new season in 2021, so we're moving ahead to announce that in April, as we always do, so I feel like I've got a foot in both worlds here.
Well, I want to talk about this Saturday's concert. Saturday, folks, is February 1st, in case you haven't looked at your calendar recently. Looks like a special concert, Matthew. You're going to be featuring Ludwig von Beethoven, because it's a special year for Beethoven enthusiasts, is it not?
There will be no shortage of Beethoven anywhere on the planet this year, Dave. 250 years ago, he was born, actually not until December, so we're in full 11 months now gearing up for these birthday celebrations. And it just seems that orchestras and chamber ensembles, soloists are all rushing to program everything that the great master ever wrote, and he was undisputed a master of Western art music, probably the most revolutionary composer that ever lived. The arguments that we have, who is the greatest composer, well, that's always very hard to answer, but when you're talking about a composer who really did turn the musical world on its head, Beethoven is as unrivaled as that revolutionary figure. His Third Symphony baffled audiences. It was almost twice as long as any symphony ever written in 1803, and now musicologists say that's when the Romantic era of music started, and he was always pushing boundaries, so I think it is appropriate that in this important birthday year that we, pull these great works out and dust them off and play them once again. They're unrivaled as some of the greatest symphonic works ever created, his symphonies and his concertos, so we're delighted to dig our teeth into the most popular symphony ever written, Beethoven's iconic Fifth Symphony.
Well, I want to talk about that in a moment, but I always, when I have a chance to chat with you, Matthew, I always like to have you enlighten our listeners a little bit about the artist, in this case, Beethoven. I'm sure everybody that's listening has heard of the name Beethoven, but they might not be all that familiar with his life. Number one, he was German, right? Born in Germany?
That's correct. Bonn, Germany, before relocating at a relatively young age to Vienna, where he spent the rest of his life.
And he goes back a ways. I was looking at his biography. He was born in 1770, so that would have been 6 years before the Declaration of Independence here in our country.
I love these facts that you always bring to the table. It is important, I also find, to put these figures, these composers, and the works that they were writing in perspective, what was happening in our country at the time. And I think it is these pieces, again, that are over 200 years old that seem they've been around forever. They were new at one time. And I think a little historical context helps in that regard. Interesting life, unlike Mozart, whose father really kind of honed his skills, his prodigy skills. Beethoven had a musical father, but he was a very bad father, abusive, and just did not treat Beethoven well. And it's amazing that Beethoven turned out the way that he did with so much talent. That he did meet Mozart. At one point, Mozart thought that he was an incredible talent, not a prodigy, but an incredible talent. And Beethoven also studied with Haydn. So, you know, right there are the three great figures of the classical era. And, you know, just an incredible growth happened really overnight between his early works and his middle period. Like I mentioned, the Third Symphony, from then on, it's just one masterpiece after another.
He had to have been extremely prolific because he was only in his mid-50s when he died. So to turn out such an incredible body of work, he was either very, very quick or he started very early.
You're absolutely right about that, but we know Mozart died at 35, so you know that prodigious talent there to be able to create as much music as Mozart did. So Beethoven, you know, a little over 20 years longer of a lifespan, but still, I mean, just the amount of repertoire is staggering. Not only the nine symphonies, the opera Fidelio, which I'm conducting this May, and I believe was just done in Pittsburgh this past weekend, and then all of the chamber music, string quartets. It's just a wealth of repertoire. He worked. I mean, this is really what he did from the morning that he woke up until the evening. He would take walks occasionally. He loved nature, but he never married, was a lifelong bachelor, even though he did take care of his nephew, Carl, later in life. But music was all-consuming. And you mentioned about dying young. His entire life was spent in ill health. I mean, certainly your listeners have probably heard that he was deaf, struggled with his hearing in middle age, and completely lost his hearing, and was then unable to conduct or to perform piano anymore. But even more than that, scientists have actually done analysis of locks of his hair, and are pretty confident that he had mercury poisoning for most of his life, which is what left he was just in constant pain in his joints. So he was a really tortured figure, and I think that's what helped create this kind of conception of him as the great romantic artist, somebody who was, you know, shaking his fist at the heavens and writing these pieces full of so much drama and personal turmoil. I think that the legend of Beethoven is almost as strong as the popularity of his music.
Do you know where his Fifth Symphony, which listeners, the Butler County Symphony is going to be performing this Saturday night. If you've never heard it live or watched it being performed live, here's your chance. This is unquestionably his most famous work. Would I be correct on that, Matthew?
100%. I don't even think that it's up for debate as far as what symphony has been performed the most, or for that matter, what are the four most famous notes in all of music? And it's the very beginning of the Fifth Symphony, the three short notes followed by a long note, da 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 da. Everybody's heard it. It's been showcased in movies and television. Beginning bands and orchestras play arrangements of it. It's just, you know, those four notes, what he is able to do with that over the span of 40 some minutes, there's nothing short of a miracle. I mean, he built his entire symphony, as he does so much of his music, on a very simple motif, a small little fragment. And so you find those four notes not only throughout the entirety of the first movement, but in all of the other movements as well. And I think that it's just this struggle from the darkness, which is the fate knocking on the door of the first movement, to this glorious C major finale, which is just exhilarating and so much fun. It's the first symphony that introduces some new instruments to the orchestra. The trombones make an appearance in a symphony for the first time ever. The piccolo and the contrabassoon had never been in a symphony before. So this is Beethoven, the innovator, constantly making steps, giant strides with every symphony that he created. And again, this one is without question the most popular.
I wonder if you ever told anybody where the idea came from, you know, for because it's so iconic, you know?
I've heard so many jokes about that people have come up with, that it was the butler, you know, I heard one just the other night about where that figure came from. And, you know, it's just that it enters the realm of legend, you know, here, this divine inspiration that he must have gotten. But one interesting note that I'd just like to mention, and the subject of genius always comes up, and how is it that we often consider Mozart a genius, but not necessarily Beethoven? And it's just the way that they worked, their notebooks exist. You can see how they worked out ideas, and Beethoven struggled greatly with so many pieces that he wrote. There's erasures, scribbling out of bar lines, pages torn out of his notebooks. He would tinker with ideas. For example, the Spitz Symphony was started in 1804, but it wasn't finished and performed until 1808. So that's four years of gestation process for him. Whereas Mozart very rarely worked anything out on paper. I mean, it just came out on the manuscript with no mistakes at all. I mean, it was maybe the occasional ink blot, but Mozart had everything worked out in his head before he would write it on paper. And we can see that by looking at their notebooks again, the process, their manuscripts, the process by which they put pen to paper and how music came out. So I think that there's an element that at least has always drawn me to Beethoven, that to know that he did struggle with the creative process, that it was not something that came to him, already worked out in his mind. He did put a lot of effort into the construction of his ideas, and he would constantly change them and improve upon them in different ways.
Yeah, wonderful background here, folks, for the upcoming concert this Saturday night by the Butler County Symphony. Listen, Matthew, we have to take a quick break here, but stick with us because I certainly want to talk about your guest artist. It's another portion of the program for Saturday night's concert. So coming up with that here on It's Your Turn on WISR, listeners, right after this break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home, built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local, and there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Matthew Kramer. He's the music director and conductor of the Butler County Symphony. The concert season resumes this Saturday night, February 1st, with a concert entitled Beethoven at 2:50. And the famous Symphony No. 5 in C minor will be performed by the Butler County Symphony Orchestra. I was chatting during the break with Matthew Kramer. There was a great film from, it's not a new film, it goes back, gosh, I don't know, 20, 30 years, called Immortal Beloved, about the life of Beethoven. I'm sure you've seen that, Matthew.
Oh, many times. And like the movie version of Peter Schaeffer's Amadeus, which, of course, about the life of Mozart, Immortal Beloved has a lot of fascinating things that are true. The situations are true in Beethoven's life. For example, that he did have an immortal beloved. We don't know who it was. Plenty of scholars have gone over his papers trying to figure out who the person was, because as I mentioned earlier, Beethoven was a lifelong bachelor. But in addition to that, his life with his nephew, later Carl, that was a very tumultuous relationship there. Beethoven, Gary Oldman did such a masterful job in that film portraying Ludwig that, with his hearing lost early on, when Beethoven found out that he was losing his hearing, he contemplated suicide. He left what's known as the Heiligenstadt Testament, a letter that he wrote to his brother. It was never delivered, but it was intended to go to his brother, describing how he intended to survive, to live. He wanted to continue living so that he could produce art. It was art that actually ended up saving him at that point in his life. So I think all of those things were so effectively handled in that movie, which is very difficult to do, for us who do love classical music or the arts in general, that sometimes Hollywood has a way of kind of going over the top, and I understand why they have to do that, but I felt that that movie was quite tastefully done.
Tickets for this Saturday night symphony concert, listeners, available at the symphony office. It's on the Diamond in downtown Butler, or you can get them online, too, at butlersymphony.org. On to the other portion of the program, which is Strauss's Don Quixote. Will that come first, Matthew, or how's the program arranged this Saturday night?
The Don Quixote is first. There are only two pieces on this concert this weekend, and I think our listeners might be surprised to know that Beethoven's Fifth Symphony isn't the big piece on the program. In fact, there really are two symphonies on this concert, and Strauss's Don Quixote is a symphony. We call it a tone poem, and I've talked on several occasions about what a tone poem is. Basically, it's a poem or a depiction of a musical event, or an event rather, a novel, a painting. It could be anything, but instead of using words, the composer uses musical notes. And in this case, the inspiration for Don Quixote is obvious. It's Miguel de Cervantes' just revolutionary book. I'm looking at it right now. I was trying to crack into this. It's well over 1,000 pages, but of course about the rueful knight of the countenance, Don Quixote, who loses his mind reading books about chivalry and knights. And, you know, he sets out on this his lunatic version before coming back to reality. And Strauss, when he was young, Richard Strauss, this is, wrote, you know, some masterful tone poems, thinking Don Juan, Death and Transfiguration, what the Butler County Symphony did only a few seasons ago, Till Eulenspiegel. But this is really the great tone poem, in my opinion, because it's a concerto for several instruments, all wrapped up into about 45-minute depiction of this great novel by Cervantes. And I think it just tells the story in a compact way so incredibly well. David, I mean, there are colors, there are solos, there are dramatic moments, humorous moments in this piece. It is really, every time I come back to the score, it is just like, you know, discovering new things, just as I do with Beethoven. It is a true masterpiece.
And one of the instruments, the principal instruments for which Richard Strauss wrote this piece was cello, and you have a world-class cellist who is going to be the guest artist with the symphony this Saturday night.
I absolutely do, and I couldn't be more elated to welcome my friend, Roman Mekanulov. Roman and I go back 10 years, I want to say. He is the principal cellist of the Buffalo Philharmonic, where I was for five seasons as associate conductor. And I've worked with him as, he's worked with me, I should say, as a soloist on several occasions in various different places. But this is the first time I've had the opportunity to invite him to Butler. He was born in what was then known as Leningrad, Russia. He immigrated to the United States, did all of his studies at the Juilliard School. And he's just such a great person on top of being a marvelous musician. And he plays the most important role in Strauss's Don Quixote. He plays the role of Don Quixote. As I mentioned, this is a tone poem, a musical depiction of the story. And so all of the characters, the prominent characters in this novel, are represented by different instruments. And so the cello, it was intended to be the principal cello of the orchestra, but over the last century, this tone poem has taken on a life of its own, and so now being the most important solo in the piece, it is usually played like a cello concerto, where the cello soloist is sitting out front. It's a soloist who's brought in to perform the piece, but there are other solos in the orchestra, the viola, most prominently, but also the tenor tuba and bass clarinet play Sancho Panza, the sidekick to Don Quixote, and then all of the other instruments, solo violin, and then the woodwinds and other brass instruments have solos that contribute to that. But the Don Quixote is the solo cello in this musical portrait of Don Quixote.
So this is what you mean by a tone poem being evocative of the novel. When we hear the tuba, we'll realize that that's Sancho Panza, for example.
You're absolutely right. I mean, those themes, there are actually, Strauss indicated, 53 themes in this tone poem, and trying to find them and bring them to the fore. Well, that's my responsibility in rehearsing the orchestra, but there's just an overwhelming number of themes that are associated with characters. But the piece is actually set up, just to explain it, as a theme in variations. You hear an introduction, which is meant to depict Don Quixote at home reading his books, and then about 6 minutes in, you hear a ping several times, and that's the actual moment that his mind snaps and then you hear the theme of Don Quixote as the knight and Sancho Panza, and then there's 10 variations, which really aren't variations like we would think of in Mozart or Beethoven, but they're episodes. And so you get him fighting the windmill. The most brilliant moment is when he charges a flock of sheep, and you can hear the sheep calls and the brass and the woodwinds using flutter tongue. It's absolutely extraordinary. The most famous episode might be when they fly through the air. Strauss created an instrument called the wind machine, so it sounds like you're standing in the middle of a hurricane. It's an actual percussionist who's backstage turning this lever, creating this wind sound. And it just sounds like, you know, they're flying through the air as is depicted in the novel. So there are 10 different episodes, you know, of Don Quixote's travels and his encounters with people, and until he's defeated in the end and returns home to die. It's, again, all of this in 45 minutes is extraordinary.
The guest artist, cellist, Roman Makolnikov, native of Leningrad, Russia, although he emigrated to the United States back in the late 1800s. Wow, his resume is just amazing. He was winning artist competitions in Leningrad when he was only 12 years old. What a thrill to have him perform with the Butler County Symphony Orchestra this Saturday night. Will you, our time begins to run short here, Matthew, will you be giving one of your pre-concert talks to kind of bring the audience up to date on what they're going to hear prior to the concert Saturday night?
I absolutely will. Of course, we'll be talking about the Beethoven, but specifically about the Don Quixote, just an opportunity to go more in depth, like I've been talking with you about here, about the piece, the structure, what to listen for. Again, I think that'll be a real discovery. It's the first time the Butler County Symphony has ever played Strauss's Don Quixote in our over 75-year history, so I know our musicians are quite eager for that. But join me at 6:30 for that pre-concert lecture.
Matthew, it's always good to talk, and it's always so informative to talk with you as well. Nice to have you with us today, sir.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thanks so much.
Sure. So long now. We're going to take a final break here, and I want to tell you about tickets for the symphony concert coming up this Saturday night. We'll be right back here on It's Your Turn for a Tuesday. In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Goin Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time from trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Goin Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Goin Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Goin Postal Butler. Let me tell you a little bit about tickets for the symphony concert coming up this Saturday night. This Saturday is February 1st already. Hard to believe, huh? Yeah. Butler Symphony Office, which is on the Diamond in downtown Butler. For those of you who have lived in Butler for a long time, it's the old Davy and Hilliard drugstore. Yeah, right on the corner there, the symphony. I bought that building many, many, many years ago and remodeled it, and that's now the Symphony Office. So you can stop in there for ticket information about this Saturday night's concert, or you can check online, too, at the Symphony's website, butlersymphony.org. Beethoven at 250, and the Don Quixote piece as well this Saturday night. There will be two more concerts by the Symphony this season. One in early March, and closing out the season in mid-April with the final concert. So, always nice to chat with Matthew Kramer, the Butler County Symphony Music Director and Conductor. We thank our earlier guest as well. Joelyn Klaus was with us, a principal at St. Wendelin School. Coming up on tomorrow's program, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill and the Warm Line, which is operated by the Grapevine Center here in Butler. The Warm Line, are you familiar with that? We'll have a couple of guests to talk about it on tomorrow's program. Debbie Christie, who's an operator for the Warm Line, and Bill Linthurst will be with us tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we have Open Talk. In fact, we'll kick it off with Open Talk at 12:30 tomorrow. And the day after tomorrow, we'll have guests from VA Butler Healthcare with us, including the director of VA Butler Healthcare, the A.B. Abraham VA Butler Healthcare Center out on North Duffy Road. So lots to look forward to as we move through the week here, the last few days of January. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your day and hope you can be with us tomorrow at 12:30 for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Okay, I'll take care of that.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Falling star to shine.